What is up, our friend from the internet? It's the Tech Yeah Games podcast. I'm your host, Tony, here with my color.
Clearly did not prepare
Leo.
This one.
Yeah, you're loquacious and articulate, Leo.
Oh, wow. I get three adjectives today. One of them clearly phoned in.
Colorful seemed pretty bad, so.
Does not apply to me.
I mean, it does. Well, you're colorful in your drabness, Leo.
Oh, right. Thanks.
Black is a color too.
Yeah, no, it is. It's the best
black's,
color.
Black's all the colors. So
yeah, exactly.
So there you go. how was your week, Leo? How's everything going over there in Oregon town?
Yeah, it was good. My mom was here, which was fun. We actually played. We played some Mario. My mom, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, Tony, but I'm a bit of a gamer. You know, I like video games.
I've heard you're a gamer. I've heard that before.
You heard that on the grapevine? Yeah. And my mom's always been sort of tolerant of it and really is respectful of how much I care about it. And, you know, I talk about it a lot, think about it a lot. And but she's never really played. It's just sort of not something she's has any experience with. But while she was here, I was playing Mario 3D World because she's always loved Mario because how could you not? And she got pretty into watching me play it, and I gave her the Switch and she played it for a while. Which I've never seen her do. I think she played more video games while here than probably in her entire life collectively. And it was really cool to watch. It was cool to see someone who has no experience with the game at all. Kind of trying to learn how to figure out, navigate 3D space. And yeah, it's cool. It's rare you get to see someone who never plays video games try and play a video game. And
yeah, was she really interesting. Was she into it?
Yeah, she likes Mario. I think she was frustrated. I think what really provided insight was it was like, hey, this is pretty unnatural as far as like trying to navigate a 3D space on a 2D plane. It's very easy for people who are experienced with it, but there is a pretty significant learning curve there.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's not a natural thing that humans would ever need to do in nature, right? Like it is definitely... There's a huge learning curve for video games. I think we forget that a lot. And it was kind of cool to see her try her best to kind of smash through it. And, you know, she had fun. I could tell. She never got very good at it. But she beat a couple levels, which if you're starting at zero, that's pretty good. So that was fun.
That is good. Yeah, it is crazy. You know, kids kind of are used to manipulating 3D space their whole lives.
Yeah, and they're used to screens and technology. Yeah, exactly.
Grown into it. You know, like we've been able to gradually ramp from 2D into this like insane control the universe 3D world. But older folks have to, or even friends that don't play games have to jump in for the first time. You know, it's funny you bring that up because I was I'll talk about it later, but I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter and so I've been busting out my Switch and I saw one of my friends was online, an old coworker, and I was like, oh, like she's been playing her Switch, because I remember when we worked together I told her like she wanted a Switch, and I said, you got to buy Zelda. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. It's the best game on Switch. You got to buy Zelda. And she did, and she tried to play it, and she's just like, I can't do this. Like, it's too hard.
It's indecipherable.
It's indecipherable. And she gave it up. And then I talked to her. I left that job a couple of years ago now, and I talked to her probably last year, and she's like, I'm trying it again. How do you do this? And I was trying to help her, and she's just like, it's too hard, I don't get it. And then I looked at her her profile today, because she was online, and it was like, last played Zelda, like 300 and some odd hours played.
That's awesome.
I texted her, I'm like, it looks like you've been playing Zelda. And she's like, I'm ready to beat it, but I just can't bring myself to finish the game. And I'm like, I feel that. And I'm like, it's crazy how awkward it is at first, but then like how much it like grabs you, you know? And it's that same kind of thing where... It's so hard to get your head around, especially her. She didn't play a lot of 3D games. So, like, you know, dealing with the 3D space, especially in a game like that, and then, you know, kind of developing a mastery and then, like, a love, especially for Zelda, that game is amazing.
For sure. And it was cool to see, because even something as simple as if you have zero experience. Also, my mother is, like, super computer literate and very smart, but she's just not – she doesn't use technology. She just doesn't, because she does other shit. But even just handing her a controller, she was like, you hand someone a new controller, like when I pick up the PS5 controller, which we'll talk about, or any new controller or a mouse or anything, I'm like, oh, yeah, I understand the basic, I understand the fundamental language of this. But you hand someone a Switch, and they're like, cool, this is a bunch of buttons and some sticks. Like, there's zero context for this.
Well, yeah, especially the layout of the Switch is like it's obnoxious.
Bizarre. Like, it's bizarre. And even if it wasn't bizarre, it's just like, dude, that's so many buttons. It really is. And like, it comes as second nature now, and you can figure everything out because we speak the language of games. But it was. I guess all I'm saying is it was very fascinating to kind of see someone engage with it from a very outside perspective.
Yeah, I think even if you understand games a little bit, the Switch is like they just put some buttons on a Pop-Tart, and you gotta like just kind of figure out where you're supposed to hold it and like what it's supposed to do, because it is obnoxious. Like
the layout's very weird.
There's so many things I hate about I love the Switch, but I hate so much about it. You know, like just so much.
Yeah.
That's fair. Well, that's good. I had a good week too. Started out a little crazy. I sort of caught some guy stealing all the packages in our building on Tuesday.
Nice.
And
when you say sort of caught, what does that mean?
I mean, I didn't actually capture him, right?
Oh, I see.
So I was taking my dog out to go pee before bed. So it was like 11:30 or something probably, and I get off the elevator and someone's like going out the door as soon as I get out of the elevator. The elevator faces away from the door, so you gotta like walk around this island and then go out the front door. And I go out the front door kind of a little behind him, and he's like fumbling something, and then I didn't think anything of it, and then all of a sudden a car just drives away with its trunk open, right? So I don't know if this is like the getaway car or something, but a car just takes off with the trunk open, right? And I think he was a kid. He looked, couldn't see his face, obviously, because it's like masks and all that. But he basically like fast walks across the street. And I really don't think anything of it until the car drives off and I see him like kind of beeline across the street. You know, like it didn't seem like where he was walking.
Yeah.
And so I pulled up my phone and I took a little video real quick of like, what is this guy? And I look and I'm like, that dude is carrying a fucking, you know, a handful of Amazon packages.
Yeah.
And so I kind of try and like keep like fast walk to him, you know, like I'm not trying to like yell out because I don't know where his friends are or anything, but I'm like,
yeah, of course,
I'm going to investigate this shit. But of course my
Detective Tony.
Yeah. My useless ass dog is just like, like, no, stop, I gotta pee. And I'm like let's go. I'm trying to like pull him.
I'm trying to solve crimes here,
right? And you know, he's just not having it. He's like, I gotta smell this fence. Like, this fence smells like pee. I gotta check this out.
This fence smells like crime.
It does. He's not a good crime dog. Like, that's for sure. Cause I can't get him to move for shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, come on. Like, and he's just like, no, like, I'm not into it. I'm old. I'm too old for this shit. He's like the Danny Glover, and I'm like the Mel Gibson.
I'm a day from retirement, man. Come on. I'm just trying to piss on this fence.
Yeah. You know, he's just trying to take a shit, right? And then there's a note on the poop bag that's like, boom. I don't remember what the note says. So eventually the guy gets too far ahead of me, and I'm kind of trying to like, I don't know, I'm not trying to like chase him down or anything, but I'm trying to see where he's going, basically.
Yeah.
And I see him stop and kind of go somewhere, and I go over there and look, and basically he like threw away his like jacket and stuff, like because he thought like the heat was on or something, right? Yeah. And so he's like, I'm gonna change my appearance like a chameleon, right?
Yeah.
And
it worked. Never catch me like Hannibal Lecter at the end of Silence of the Lambs, just fading into the crowd.
It worked though, you know. Tony, the Tony Detective Service lost the trail. So
Tony PI.
Yeah, no more clues. The trail's cold. What are you gonna do? It's a cold case now. Also, like, I had a set of guitar strings that I bought that were $9, so I wasn't too heartbroken about it. Like, you know, I wasn't gonna chase him down over some guitar strings and potentially like die.
Yeah.
And I told Amazon they never showed up, and they sent me another pair of guitar strings. Yeah. So. But that was my exciting story for this week. the life of a Hollywood
30 star.
Something,
Hollywood PI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. It's funny you bring up packages. I got, like I said, I think on Saturday, I got a package, you know, I got my PS5 and it turned into this whole production around like
cleaning.
Well, we don't have to focus on that part of it necessarily, but yeah, getting in the package was like a whole production. It was funny. It was like, yeah, that they didn't even call me when they delivered it, and I did have kind of the thought to idea what you were talking about, which was like, what if they just put it there and someone was like, oh, it's a big box from GameStop.
That's a big old box.
That's like a PS5 you know, size box. And just leaves. Could happen.
Well, that'd be a lucky day for them. They really got caught a big fish.
Yeah.
You know? Well, speaking of that, Leo, you got your PS5. Life is good. What have you been playing this week with your new system? Let's hear about it.
So this system, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I set it up. It's great. It's wonderful. It was fun signing in. I backed up all my PS4 saves into, you know, the cloud. And what a fascinating console this is visually. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked a lot about how I think it's so ugly. And true. I still do. Although I will say now that it's sitting under my TV, taking up a huge amount of space, there is something kind of charming about it. It reminds me of like a pug, you know, which are profoundly ugly dogs, but there's something very charming about how ugly they are. Like, they're really very much like a, yeah, it's an old ugly cute thing, right?
I just think they're cute. I think you're being very mean to pugs right now with that.
You think pugs are cute?
Adorable. I want to lick my face.
Wow. No, I mean, they are cute in that, like, they are so ridiculous looking. And that's how the PS5 looks to me. One thing that I found immediately very, not off-putting, but confusing was when you put a disc in, which I know you don't have a disc PS5 because you're a plebe, but when you put true. The disc in, you have to put, it's the opposite of what you'd expect. Like, you have to put the shiny side on the outside of the PS5, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of upside down, right?
It's weird. It's very strange, and I'm sure they did it for a good reason. I'm not, like, questioning the engineering. It's not a big deal, but it definitely, I put a disc in, and it ran, and it didn't work, and I was like, oh my god, my PS5 is broken. What a fucking nightmare this is.
Shit's busted,
and then,
bro.
And it even said, it was like, this disc is not readable. Did you put it upside down? I was like, no, shut up. Of course not. I'm a smart guy. I would never do that. But yeah, so I started with Assassin's Creed, which is very good, but man, it really is fucking glitchy. I don't know that I have a whole lot to add to the conversation about Assassin's Creed Valhalla other than Vikings are very fun. Place to set an Assassin's Creed game. I'm shocked they hadn't done it before. It is beautiful. The music's great. You know, writing's pretty good. Vikings are fun. If you like Vikings, you're going to like this game. But it really is very glitchy, and Assassin's Creed has this issue where it's profoundly complicated. I was thinking, actually, looking back into the Mario conversation we were having, like, handing someone a controller and being like, play Assassin's Creed would be indecipherable. Like, it is so complicated, and I would say way too complicated, and it gets in its own way a lot.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason I don't like Assassin's Creed, right? Because even me, who plays a lot of games and kind of understands a lot of the language around games, yeah, like, really does not enjoy, like, the amount of stuff Assassin's Creed crams in now.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, like, it's so much, it's just unnecessary to a game that is seemingly so, like, eager to be narrative driven, you know, yeah, like, it's like, no, it's about the narrative, it's a good story, follow the story, and it's like, and then there's just this fucking truckload of bullshit, right? Yeah. That's just like you're dragging around the whole time, and that's always been kind of a turnoff to me. I know people love those games. I'm not saying that there's no value in those games. Like, I understand that there's a huge audience, but yeah, I've always felt that when playing those games, and it just feels so hindered by it, right? Not helped.
It's bloated, right? Right. And I actually agree with you. As someone who really likes these games and always has, and still sees the value in the new one, which is like, they are beautiful games, almost without exception. They're some of the most beautiful open world games when they come out. You know, the character models for an open world game are very exceptional. The writing's, you know, it's good. It's not brilliant, but it's pretty solid. The voice acting's always good. You know, it's a AAA game that knows what it wants to be and does it well. But I 100% agree with you. There is a profound sense of bloat attached to it. I will say, for the vast majority of you, don't have to engage with those systems if you don't want to, which is a pretty important distinction. Like, if you don't want to worry about crafting or you don't want to worry about upgrading your armor, you can just run around the world and explore and explore the high places. And to me, that's what's fun about these games, is just running around these beautiful open worlds. And, you know, the historical accuracy and the way they kind of tie it to figures of the past is very entertaining and fun. But what I enjoy about it the most is, yeah, exploring these digital spaces. And I do think Assassin's Creed, without exception, has been really, really good at that.
Yeah, I just think the, you know, honestly, I think the biggest problem with Assassin's Creed is it doesn't need the looter nature in it, right? Like, no. I think that that's a big miss to, like,
yeah, I think if anything... It's very prevalent in this one.
Yeah, if we've seen anything with these first-party Sony games, it's that, yeah. like, yeah. that no one really cares about, like, if... That could be the driving force, or it cannot exist. But kind of having it as like a background is a real kind of problematic. You know,
I agree with you. It reminds me of when we were talking about Doom Eternal, and I was like, "This game is so pure and so cool," but there is that veneer of artificiality and MTX and the store, right? It's like the big government's like, "Oh, or not government." That's the alluding to a previous conversation we had.
I'm a gaming government man, bro.
No, but this idea of like big corporate interests and shareholders, which are like, yeah, this is all, this art is very nice and very cool, guys. Good work. However, where's the ROI? And the integration of loot boxes and all that shit. Like you can, it's all avoidable, but it's impossible to completely avoid. Like you don't have to spend money, but it's there in the background. And that does sour even the most interesting, you know, it does sour the things this game does really well, which is beautiful spaces, fun, like fun dialogue, the combat's fun. Like it's a very good game. It's just, it's bloated. Like you said, you called it earlier. It's extremely bloated. And this is true for every Ubisoft title, as far as I know. Like I like The Division. I like Ubisoft. I really do. I like Rainbow Six. I like The Division. Even Ghost Recon, you remember I tried to play, like it's fun. They make good games. They're just profoundly bloated and technically inferior, and yeah, they're rough. I want to like them so badly, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel like the multiplayer games kind of get away with it because they're not allowed to have as much story, you know, like
yeah.
you look at like The Division or Rainbow Siege, right? And like those are also very bloated, complicated games.
They are.
But because they're multiplayer, it's like you're allowed to just abandon the story. Which yeah. makes it, which means you can make the game about those systems, where the systems are the story, right? And I think that's yeah. in some ways
they're very fun. Mechanical.
Yeah, that's fun, right? Like the game I'm going to talk about, Monster Hunter, right? It's a very complicated, obtuse game that is entirely bloated, full of systems, but the story yeah. is nothing in that game, right?
Yeah.
Like
and they know that, they know knew that from the beginning. Yeah,
I mean, honestly, in this version of Monster Hunter, there's literally like a no story. If you want to do like the multiplayer hub progression version of the story, you can just do that, and there's no story in it. Like, there's no cutscenes, there's no nothing. You can literally progress through like the entire hierarchy of the game and never see any of the story in it, because it's like, yeah, some people just want to jump in, play online and craft armor, and they know what's going on. They don't need any of this other shit, you know.
They're giving the option to engage with the systems you want to engage with.
Yeah, and well,
that's awesome.
Well, really, everyone's got to engage with the bullshit. It's like, but if you don't want to engage with the story, you can skip that part.
That one part of bullshit.
But yeah, you know, I think with Ubisoft too, it's they really just try and have too much in those games. And I think it makes them less than because of it, which I think is a shame, because I do think they make good games, you know.
They do. I think they make very not polished technically, but like they make very ambitious games, I guess, for lack of a better expression. And they're fun. They're fun. Assassin's Creed is fun almost always. It's just it's bloated. It often collapses under its own weight in a way that's really unfortunate, because if you stripped out 30% of the systems and the bullshit and the chaff in Assassin's Creed, which I guess you could say the old Assassin's Creed, that's exactly what they did, right? Like Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, that generation, those were very relatively streamlined and pure experiences. And that's why everyone loves those so much. That's why everyone, almost without exception, is like, those are the best ones. And anytime they praise a modern one, it's because they kind of did a throwback to that older style. And to me, that's like, hey, what does that say? But they're doing it for business. They're doing it because they're trying to make Assassin's Creed games as a service, which is really not great for me. It's not a good fit for me. But that said, it is a fun game. It's great. It's beautiful. It allows me to explore digital spaces, which is really all I want. I'm not going to... I can already tell, as much as I enjoy the main character and as much as I enjoy exploring these spaces, there's no way I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, I just don't get the need to have the... all this like loot and like all this kind of personal, I don't know if you call it personalization or what in those games when you like, you know, the game I've been raving about the past week, Ghost of Tsushima, right? Like, there's like seven armors. There's one weapon, you know, you can upgrade it, whatever.
Yeah, that game kind of took what this is trying to do and made it much more elegant. And I'm sure it makes way less money, but even so.
You know, you look at any of these kind of modern, so like Bloodborne, like any of these kind of like Horizon, like all these games, like a few bespoke armor sets, right? A few bespoke weapons. Like, I don't know. I just, it's fine. Like, and I get if it's multiplayer and you want to show off and you want to give people kind of like that, like I got the good stuff kind of feeling, but there's just no one to show off to except yourself. You know, it's like it never really made a lot of sense to me in those games. But
yeah, totally. Well, and more importantly too, like as someone who's purely playing it single player, who's not engaging with any of those systems, it's so glitchy. And I understand that's like the price you pay for a really complicated game. But as someone who just wants a cool single player experience, it's profoundly distracting. And the things the game does well, like the story and the, you know, the main character, they have gotten very good about making compelling protagonists. Like, I love my female version of this Viking warrior, Ivor. She's great. She's, like, very heavy in her movement. Like, she's not elegant like a lot of protagonists in the past have been. Like, when she jumps off a mountain, she, like, slams into the ground like you would if you were wearing a shitload of fur and had a bunch of weapons on your back. She's not an assassin.
I mean, that's just Danes, man. That's just how they roll, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, like, there is so much artistry in that, and there is so much that I want to love. It's just trapped behind these very, like you already articulated very nicely, like, all these systems that are so clearly detrimental to that artistry. And the artistry that's there is sort of hindered by that, and it's frustrating. But
I do love me some Vikings, though.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, the setting's great. You can't go wrong with that. Like Ghost of Tsushima, it's like, yeah. But anyway, I didn't mean to go so far off about Assassin's Creed. A few more things about the PS5 itself. Yes. That controller is a fucking masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece. It's amazing, right?
It's the best controller.
It's the best controller. You hold it and you're like, wow, this is like, this is next gen. The controller's what's next gen. You know, the
and console, I think, whatever. I think I said this last week, but even just picking it up before I turned it on, I was like, yep. The weight's right. The distribution's right. They finally made it like smoother and just more easily grippable. And I have slightly bigger hands than most people, but I don't even think that's relevant. It's just like, it is clearly beautifully designed. It looks great. I love when you turn on, there's the blue light around the touchpad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a wonderful controller.
Yeah, it feels so good too.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, just as a controller, it's like, ooh, feels great. So much work went into that and it shows. Playing Astro Bot is really cool. I love the idea of having a pack in like that. It's very cool. And the way they explore Sony's history is really wonderful. It's like, it's very good marketing, but I like the fact it's only marketing to people who already bought the console. So it doesn't feel like it's trying to manipulate you, you know? It's more like, hey, here's a cool thing we made. And we're celebrating it along with you versus, hey, you should buy our product, you know?
Yeah, it really does seem like a chance to, like, hey, let's just, like, celebrate and explore this thing you just spent a lot of money on. You know,
exactly.
Like, I know you spent a bunch of money, but, like, here's something fun we can do and kind of check it out.
Yeah,
and,
together.
You know, like,
as weird as it sounds, it is, like, it's very, and it's cute the way, as someone who's really into hardware, it's very cute the way it's a platformer based on the actual internals of the console itself. That's so cool. That's such a cool idea. It's like you get to explore it. And, like, when you look up in the main hub area, you're in a PS5.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It is
very cool. And the throwbacks to Sony franchises are endlessly entertaining.
Yeah, guessing what they're doing is so fun,
it's,
right?
It's like, so fun. That alone, like, that could be a game somehow. I don't know what that game would be, but it is so fun. Like, I remember seeing a weird guy with mushrooms on his head and someone hiding behind a door. And I was like, what the fuck? Oh, it's The Last of Us. Oh, my God. It has the cute little mushrooms. They're, like, super cute mushrooms. And the little robot looks kind of like a zombie, but not scary. And then there's just Joel and Ellie hiding. And then there was a Resident Evil one, which was so cute. It was like a, you know, just a robot with red eyes. And you just see Chris and Jill, like, Jill has a beret, Chris has a green shirt, and they're just hiding by a door with guns. It's so adorable and so cool.
Yeah, I love those. I love me them Astrobots, bro.
Yeah, totally. And it was interesting playing that and playing Mario at the same time, because I do think Sony has always struggled against Nintendo with trying to capture that. And I think this game is a very good imitation of that. And again, it's a pack-in, so it's like it's awesome. I'm so glad they installed it on there. But it does kind of show how Sony is always playing second fiddle to, like, why can't we do what Nintendo does, goddammit? And they've never figured it out.
Yeah, I think in some ways, like, I feel like if that game wasn't trying to, like, introduce concepts and feel, you know, I think some of the shortcomings of that game, and I love Astrobot, so, like, I wouldn't consider these, like, real complaints about it, but, you know, it's trying to do something very specific, which is kind of...
It's functional.
Yeah, it's functional, yeah. Right? It's trying to show you how the controller works and all these things. You know,
it's an extremely beautiful and elegantly designed tutorial, essentially.
Yeah, I think
it's the best tutorial ever made, probably.
Yeah, probably ever made. If they, like, unleashed him, you know what I mean, and made it a true 3D platformer, I think it would be pretty incredible, right? Like, if they just took that concept of him and you're like, let's just, instead of trying to highlight the controller, let's just do what's fun with him now, you know? I think that would be pretty exciting, because I do think it's pretty incredible and it's pretty exciting to, like, especially when you first get your PlayStation. You know, the thing that surprised me the most, too, was, like, stuff you don't really notice until you, like, go back, right? Like, how good the rumble is, right? Yeah. Like, and for some reason, like, when you're running around, it's like, yeah, you always kind of knew what you were walking on with rumble, right? And then you play and you go back and you're like, oh, rumble used to suck. You know, it was never this accurate. Like, you can close your eyes and run around and be like, now I'm on snow. Now I'm on glass. Yeah. Now I'm on sand. Now I'm on grass. You know, like, it's incredible.
It is incredible. That part of it's very cool. And, like, I think the idea of packing in something that's genuinely compelling and hits your nostalgia and is impressive technologically as you're packing is so smart. And it really is mind-boggling that people stopped doing that. Because that's what Super Mario World was, right? I mean, it was a pack-in with the Super Nintendo. It was like, hey, this is what your cool new console can do.
It wasn't originally a pack-in.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
It came out after the Nintendo Super Nintendo been out. Or did it?
Even in the United States? I thought it launched with the Super Nintendo in the United States, but I could be wrong. I don't know that for a fact.
It might have actually.
But I know it was a pack-in at one point, and I think that's a smart move, right? It's like, hey, you bought this console. Here's what it can do. And now that there's no physical media, it's such a no-brainer. It's really quite shocking that people haven't done this before. And they went above and beyond. Like, it's a very cool game. Like I said, it's a brilliantly designed system showcase and controller showcase and a tutorial for, like, how to use it and a fun nostalgia well. Like, it's great. It's very smart.
Yeah, it does so many things so well. Like, yeah. It really does. It's incredible, like, how many things it accomplishes and how well it does and how...
Yeah.
Fun it is to do those things. You never feel like you're it's a chore to, like, go through and experience these things.
Yeah, totally. I think the only sort of negative experiences I had is I don't like the UI of the PS5. Like, just when you hit the menu button, I find it really difficult to navigate. And to be fair, I found the PS4 one difficult to navigate as well. I don't think it's worse. But, like, for example, I was like, hey, want to look at my trophies? I've been playing Resident Evil and trying to platinum it, and I just want to look at all my trophies. And it was so hard to find my trophies. And I know that sounds like such a specific criticism, but it shouldn't be hard, right? It shouldn't be hard to do anything. It should be pretty straightforward. And it's not. Like, I think it's not a well-designed UI.
I kind of think the UI wasn't done. I think it's still not done.
I agree. It feels like a beta almost.
It feels like the design doc has been completed.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's like looking at a PowerPoint.
Yeah, like, here's the design doc, and they're like, okay, the design doc's done. Let's release it. And they're like, oh, we need to, like, we didn't really test this. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't really see how this is going to work because it doesn't work very well. Super Mario World was a pack-in. I was wrong. I don't know why I was confusing it with
Super Mario 3. Was it only a pack-in in for the Super Famicom? Or
no, it was a pack-in in the U.S.,
okay, cool.
I don't know why I was confusing it with Super Mario 3. I remember buying Super Mario 3, and for some reason, I don't know. I'm dumb. What can I say?
Yeah, I mean, I think really what we've learned about you is you're just dumb when it comes to Mario games from the 80s.
I'm just not smart. You know, I was I was 9 years old.
Yeah, you're a Sonic kid.
Yeah, I didn't have the best memory at What year was it? 1990. So I was 8 years old. I was eight. I don't remember everything that happened when I was eight. I apologize. Good
dumbass 8 year old Tony.
Yeah, fucking no idiot. Shit. What a fucking idiot.
The only other game I played was Spider-Man. I know we've been going on for a while, but it's a new console launch. We get to talk about it, right? You
can talk about it.
I did not really enjoy playing Spider-Man, but it's not... I think this is a great example of when it's not the game's fault. I just was not, like, feeling it at all. It did look cool. Like, the... you could it's always fun when you can see developers showing off what they know looks good, right? Like, in the main menu of Miles Morales is very cool, where it, like, zooms in on different parts of his clothes or his headphones, and it is like, hey, look at all this detail! And it is fucking cool. And it's also very cool to see ray tracing in the wild for the first time. It really is pretty neat. It's fun to see reflections, like real-time reflections. I spent a lot of time just fucking around with like windows and walking back and forth and enjoying walking around the city. It's beautiful for sure. But it didn't hit me as like... I didn't feel like I was seeing something new.
Did you play the first Spider-Man game?
I did, yeah. And I thought that was, for the PS4 hardware, I thought was profoundly impressive. And this felt like a much better version of that, but it didn't feel like next gen to me, you know?
Yeah, I think not playing PS4 Spider-Man, like I played it a little bit, but I didn't like beat it, or I didn't spend any substantial time with it. I'm glad, because I think I loved Miles Morales. I think because I didn't play the first one,
yeah.
I think playing both, it would be very like, oh, this is kind of like the other one, you know? Like. Yeah. Which it is.
Well, it's exactly what it is, which is not a bad thing, which is like a cool spin-off expansion that looks better. Like, there's nothing wrong with what it is at all. It was more just, I don't know that it's necessarily a showcase for the next generation of console gaming. It didn't feel like that to me. It felt like a way better version. I mean, it felt like exactly what it is, which is like a really cool spin-off that has a lot of really beautiful features. But the first Spider-Man game was so gorgeous, too. It's almost like to its detriment that the first one looked so amazing on the last generation hardware.
Yeah,
which all of this is praise to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the frame rate's a lot better.
No, it is. Clearly. There's no question it's better. It's more just it didn't
and
feel.
And ray trace reflections. You know, like it is visually totally. Quite an upgrade. But
It is. Absolutely. But it didn't feel like a generation leap.
Because it didn't use the controller well. You know, it's all about that controller, bro.
Yeah, maybe I'm just an idiot. Like 8 year old Tony.
Yeah, we're both fucking so stupid, you know?
But I'll finish up by saying the vast majority of what I played was Resident Evil, which is a 20-year-old game. So I don't know what that says about me. Although I will say, beat it in 2.5 hours, unlock that infinite rocket launcher.
So now it's all whatever. You can just shoot rockets and win.
Now it's all worth it. So glad I spent $500 on this console. But it is. No, it's great. It's fun having a new console, despite I feel like I've been negative on it. But overall, every time I walk into my living room and sit down and grab that controller and boot it up, I haven't tried Call of Duty yet, but I haven't tried any of the PS4 games. We've talked extensively about how much better they are. I'm genuinely excited, and it's really fucking fun. And it's been a long time since I've been, you know, since I've had like a cool hardware unboxing and be like, oh shit, I forgot like all this cool stuff I can do now. Yeah, it's great.
And all the free games, bro. So many free games.
Yeah, and I was talking to my mom. I was talking to her about Resident Evil, and she could not care less, which is understandable. Nobody cares.
I mean, normal people, like people that play games don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Mom's gonna care. But it did have its 25th anniversary, which I'm sure you noticed. And all of that triggered this memory of like, oh, wait, I can download the Resident Evil 8 demo. I completely forgot. And I got to play through that, which was fun. And yeah, having new hardware is... It's great, man. It is.
Hey, you're
fun,
on the team,
you know.
Bro.
Yeah,
you're
exactly. It's not even the crew. It's not like, about the team. It's more just like, oh, I get to sample the latest art.
I'm gonna invite you to my private PS5 owners Facebook group. Oh, all right, that's the place.
I will be rejecting that invite.
No, that's the spot, bro. We talk about PS5.
We're talking about how fun Ghost of Tsushima is.
Yeah, we talk about Ghost of Tsushima
and the original Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk about the original Resident Evil, how good the frame rates are in Call of Duty. It's a fucking sick place to hang out. I'll tell you that.
Send that shit over. I'll be there.
Yeah, I'm gonna send it over. I'm gonna make one. I swear to God, just so I can send it to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll keep talking about the PS5 next week for sure and like continue exploring it. But I'm genuinely curious what you played this week, because did you play your PS5? What did you get up to?
I did not play my PS5 this week because yeah,
you
I'm kind of over
PS6?
It. Yeah,
I'm you're over it.
Whatever. PS5. Whatever. I've still been playing Rocksmith. It's funny.
Nice.
Now I'm like starting to nerd out on my guitar since like I've been playing Rocksmith. I don't know if this is a good thing, because this is kind of like what I do is I start doing something and then I buy all the bullshit for it and then I stop after spending money. And I'm kind of into that like let's spend some money mode.
Good capitalist.
Yeah, I'm a very good capitalist. So I bought locking tuners for my guitar. I've never had locking tuners, and now I'm so excited to have locking tuners. I bought some new cables. Nice. I bought a pedal, like a Y splitter pedal, so I can plug into Rocksmith and I can plug into my amp at the same time.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that last week. Nice to be able to do both for sure. Yeah. Like be able to actually hear what you're playing while you're playing it.
Yeah, because Rocksmith doesn't really let you hear. And you know, just spending a bunch of money on bullshit just so I can keep being bad at Rocksmith. But I will say it's been helping. I feel like I'm getting my chops back a bit from all the Rocksmith. So it's paying off. You know, that money is it's going to a good cause. What can I say?
No, totally. And it does get to that thing that we've talked about multiple times, which is like, man, there is a way to combine gaming with actual skills like exercise or like, I'm always curious about that crossover between like real life experience, things that are genuinely contributing to the betterment of who you are, and also being able to play video games at the same time. Like that's a very potent combination, and sounds like this is it's a step in that direction for sure.
Yeah, and I will say I've kind of found myself kind of more into those kind of experiences with like you know, Quest 2 ping pong. Like I love that shit. Now Rocksmith, and I will say the other game I played a lot of this week that also has been helping me with my real life is Monster Hunter Rise on the Nintendo Switch.
Can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah, I'm a real life Monster Hunter, so this definitely helps in my real life.
What monsters do you hunt, Tony? In Hollywood.
So there's these little bugs that they're like these beetles with like a little red butt. I don't remember what they're called. They're named after
the
tree.
Oh, I like those beetles.
They're named after the tree they come from. These trees are out here, and they're just like millions of them in the trees. But so I hunt those sometimes when they get in the house. So
you're basically a monster hunter. Yeah.
Basically a monster. That's what I'm trying to say here. So Monster Hunter Rise came out. I wasn't going to buy it, but then I bought it and I've been playing
it. I wasn't going to, but then I did the thing.
Yeah. I've been playing it ever since. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, man, I can't wait to play it on PC. But I can't, I have no patience, right? It's next year. I'm not waiting a year to hunt monsters. I need to hunt monsters now. And, you know, I think it's great. I think it's a good new Monster Hunter. Did you play World at all?
No, I've always been pretty like disconnected from Monster Hunter, but the fact they use the RE engine kind of piqued my curiosity. And I think I watched the Digital Foundry kind of breakdown of what it's doing on the Switch. And it seems like a pretty, technically adept and pretty neat game on purely like as a Switch game. It seems pretty remarkable and like a pretty significant technological advancement.
It surprisingly looks and runs really well. I'm just playing it on my Switch Lite, which is tiny, and it looks and runs great.
That RE engine is like no fucking joke.
No fucking joke. But yeah, it looks and runs good. It's fun to play. It's got a lot of the quality of life improvements that came from World. Yeah. You know, like no more paintballs to track monsters. It just shows you where they're at. You got all these animals. You got an owl now. You got your normal palico. You got a dog. You got a dog now that you can ride, so you can just run around the map fast. You can like wall climb and zip line up fast. Like movement's so much better in this game than it was in previous Monster Hunters. Yeah. You know, verticality's always been really hard in those games because you're always looking for like a weird path to get like up a tree or like some vines, like you know, specific like climbable wall vines you can climb. And now you're just like, I'll just throw a zip line, like it's almost like a grappling hook, but it's like fast, and you kind of pull yourself up. And once you pull yourself up, you can like use the momentum to wall run, like just up any wall. So
like
you can,
Spider-Man,
like Spider-Man, you can just scale like giant trees and really cover ground so fast in a way that is fun, and like you just can find the monster so fast. Yeah, I think it's great. I think if you like Monster Hunter, it's a great Monster Hunter. It looks cool. The village is like, it's very Japanese, the setting this time. You know, they're always, I don't know, they're always set kind of differently. You know, the last one was kind of pirate-ish, like you're on the coast and there's like a big kind of a boat theme. This one is very Japanese. Like, even like the non, like the starter set looks kind of like ninja-ish, right? And the palicos, like your little cats, sometimes they'll have ninja masks on. It definitely is like leaning into that aesthetic, which I think is great. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. You don't play Monster Hunter, so it's hard to really like get into the semantics about it. Like, I don't
want to. No, totally. No. I mean, I think it's interesting to hear about. I'm curious, actually, along those lines. Like, do you think it'd be a good place to start if you're I've essentially zero experience with Monster Hunter, and I know it's.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think this would be a good place to start? I guess the question is, would it be better to start with this or World?
I would probably start with this before World. I think it's less complicated in a lot of ways. Yeah. I think the tutorials are better in this game than they are in World. Also, I think, you know, the handheld nature of it helps, right? Like, you don't have to be so, like, tied to it. Like, you know, I will say, like, there's something about handheld games that it's like, and maybe this isn't good, but it's like, if you got to go do something, you can just kind of give up, you know, like if you're not as you know, I'm just gonna put this thing to sleep and walk away, you know, like for some reason I'm playing a game on PC and I'm in a group or something and I'm just like, I gotta finish this, you know, I'm into
absolutely.
It
absolutely, it's a commitment.
Yeah, I'm on my Switch and I'm doing one and it's like, oh, it's time for dinner, I'm like, all right, sleep, and I just walk off, and maybe that's fucked up.
No, but it's not. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. I think that was always the difference between handhelds and like sit down experience, right? I mean, like the best portable games always take that into account. And Monster Hunter, from my understanding, has been a portable game for the vast majority of its life. I know it started on PS2, but it got big on the PSP and then went to 3DS and now it's on the Switch and PC, which I guess is the one that was the most successful, oddly enough. But
yeah, there was a Wii version, like Try, I think was on Wii. But generally, it's always been a mobile game or a handheld game.
Yeah.
And, except for World. World was the first one that, and, you know, World's great. Like, I think World is really good.
Yeah.
But I think this kind of refines on that a little bit more. They simplified some of the weapons. I think some of the combos are easier. They added this, it's called like a silk line. So the thing you kind of move with is called a silk line, and you get charges of it, usually two charges. Sometimes you have three. But you can also use it for like an attack, right? You can use it for movement or an attack. Each time it'll consume one and they'll regenerate over like 10 seconds. So it's not like you lose them for a long time. But it's kind of like EX attacks in like Street Fighter, right? Like you can burn one or you can burn two. And so a lot of the more, I feel like, difficult things you would do in previous Monster Hunters, you know, like leaping attacks and stuff like that, you can just kind of do with a two-button like hold L2 to aim your silk line and then push the attack button, you'll do like a silk line attack. And a lot of those seem to correspond with things you would have done in previous games using like combos, right? Where you were like deep in a combo and you unleash like the final attack in that combo. And then you do like a rising chop on a monster. And it's like, now it's like, I just push these buttons. You got one off cooldown. Just do it, you know? And you can amplify those by using other skills in conjunction with it. But in general, you can kind of get those things off and do cool fighting techniques without like having to be like a master of said weapon, you know?
Yeah. That's cool. It sounds like it does exactly what a new version, especially on a different console, should do, which is kind of take the fundamental thing that's compelling and sort of streamline it and adapt it for the console. And this is the first one in the RE engine, right? Which shows sort of how adaptable that engine is, which is very cool.
It is very cool. Now I'm just waiting for the Amiibos to come out so I can spoof it on my phone. And
you mean purchase the Amiibo legally from Nintendo?
No, I'm going to spoof that shit on my phone, bro. there's no way. There's no way I'm buying that shit.
You don't have to actually buy it. You just have to say you're going to buy it.
Why do I have to lie? I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna pretend. For our audience deserves the truth, Leo. All right,
the truth about your truth,
and I'm gonna tell them the truth.
You know, I appreciate that.
I'm going to download the bin files. I'm going to load them on my phone. I'm going to put them in a Switch controller emulator. And I'm going to fucking load them up on Monster Hunter. Okay? That's what's going to happen. So,
well, we'll see. If your Switch gets banned.
What are they going to do? How are they going to ban it? They're going to ban it. They can't ban it for that. I mean, they could. They would never know, basically.
Don't give them any ideas.
Fucking come at me, Nintendo. All right?
Yeah, don't say that.
Come at me. Let me see what you got. Let me see what you got. I'll send you my friend code. If you're from Nintendo and you want to ban me,
just come on, man. Connect.
Tweet us at TechYeah Podcast. Or like retweet something. I don't know. Do something. And I will send you my friend code and you can fucking see what you can do.
Dude, how funny would that be if Doug Bowser was like, hey, just retweeted? That would be so funny. It'd be very scary.
It'd be worth it for the marketing traction, right? I'd buy another Switch, like just to get that kind of that's a good ROI on marketing spend.
Oh, right? Hell yeah!
So for $200 or whatever a Switch Lite costs, I'd do it in an instant. Then I could buy the Monster Hunter Switch, right?
Oh, is that? Does it look nice?
It looks pretty cool. You know, it's like kind of. It's kind of plain, but I think it looks nice. It's kind of black with like metallic. I'm gonna find you the.
Does it look nicer than the Animal Crossing Switch I'm staring at right now?
The Animal Crossing Switch is very cute, right?
Dope seafoam green. It's beautiful.
Okay, it doesn't have seafoam green.
Okay, then I'm not interested at all.
Okay.
Actually, let's set this precedent. From now on, if something's not in seafoam green, not interested. Just as a rule.
I mean, that's a weird rule, dude.
It is. It's caused a lot of problems in my life. It's very hard to find a job.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good rule to live by.
You have to have your own code. That's my code.
Yeah, that's not a good code. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I'm playing on Monster Hunter. I like it. I want to play more. I want to play more right now. The one thing I will say, because we talked about the ergonomics of the Switch and how it doesn't look like the buttons don't make sense. Shit is hurting my thumbs so bad. Trying to play this. Like, I went to like 3 GameStops today and eventually found like a clip-on like grip mount for it, you know? And I actually ordered another one off Amazon. That's supposed to be really good. The one I got from GameStop sucks, but it's better than nothing. Because I can't hold, like, my thumbs are just dying trying to hold this thing and like wedge them up into those thumbsticks. The fucking Switch is a nightmare.
Why can't you just use a controller?
Because I'm on a Switch Lite, so I'd have to like lean it against something.
That sounds like less effort than what you just described.
Not really. I mean, yeah. Because it's not very big, right? It's better to hold it, right? Like, when you look at it, I don't know. Yeah. I can install it on my girlfriend's Switch and play on the TV, but I don't want to see what it would look like on a TV. I think it would ruin it.
It would ruin the mystique. You don't want to see that shit at 480p.
Yeah. other than that, you know, just some regular stuff. Played some Grand Theft Auto 5. I've been playing through the story. I tried to play... Have you ever played Payday before?
I think I played Payday 2 briefly, but no, I've never really engaged with it.
I tried to play some Payday 2 because I was going through my Steam library and I was like, oh, this is a game I have. That game's not good.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't play very much of it. I played a little bit, but even the moving around and shooting and stuff was like, this kind of sus. Like, I'm not feeling this. So, that one's not going to make it very far.
Sorry, Starbreeze.
Yeah, sorry, Starbreeze, but your game, not for me. I'm sorry. also, I played a mobile game. You'll like this.
Oh, please. I love hearing about mobile games.
I played Bloons Tower Defense.
Ooh.
Have you played that before?
No.
It's actually a really good tower defense game. It's fucked up because it's, you know, $5. It's full of microtransactions. It's not free to play, which shocked me.
That is fucked up.
But I will say, like, it's really good. So, yeah.
At the very least, it is good at what it's trying to do.
Like, I haven't spent any money on it, and it's a good tower defense game. I'm like, oh, this is cool. It's your monkeys, and you're popping balloons. You know, like balloons are moving through the maze, and you hire a bunch of, the towers are all different kinds of monkeys. So you have like a ninja monkey, and like an airplane monkey, and like a frost monkey, and I'm fucking down for these monkeys, dude. They're fucking chill. Yeah,
sounds like a diverse cast of monkeys.
Yeah, there's a dart monkey. There's a alchemist monkey. I think the plane monkey is my favorite monkey, though. If I had to choose one. All right, they're all my babies, so how can you choose? You know, how can you choose?
It's impossible. What do you think is the best tower defense game?
Bloons Tower Defense 6.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't.
I
know
mean, it might be. It very well be. Could be.
It's a really no good tower defense. Like, yeah. You know, it's a very mature tower defense game. Like in the fact
it sounds like
it's the fact that it's like. New, like it takes a lot from other tower defense games. It kind of creates a fun loop with it. I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm not that familiar. I mean, Plants vs. Zombies is kind of a tower defense, right?
And Plants vs. Zombies was very good.
Yeah. Like, I didn't really play it, but I know it was extremely popular. Yeah. I mean, my experience with tower defenses was all from Dota, Warcraft 3 custom game tower defenses.
Yeah. The original.
So, like, I mean, part of me is kind of like one of those fucking dumb ones, you know? Like, they all had, like, the stupidest names, right? It was, like, Naruto Tower Defense or something. you know, that shit was probably my favorite. But I really am not that experienced. What's your favorite Tower Defense game?
Well, I don't play Tower Defense games. I don't mean that in, like, a judgmental way, but I don't at all. That's what
sounded
I was
very judgy, I'll be honest.
No, I don't play them. It's not because I'm too good. I just don't. I've never had any experience with them. I did play Plants vs. Zombies, if that qualifies, and enjoyed it, but that's literally the only one.
Well, if you get a chance, you know, you want to spend $5,
have the opportunity to give them more money.
No, so you can fucking do these monkey games, bro.
That's play why. Monkey. Come on.
Pop these balloons with these monkeys. Yeah, that's legit. I would actually recommend it to.
No, it sounds
if you're
cool,
into tower
man.
Defense and you like monkeys, which is everybody, maybe check it out. Or maybe don't. I don't really care. So,
you know, some people are scared of monkeys.
I'm scared of monkeys. After I see them pop these balloons, see what they're capable of. No, monkeys are fucking terrifying. All right, let's take a break and then we'll come back real quick with some stories. Leo, I did not expect our break to be us talking about birds. But yeah,
it was a good conversation, though. I wish y'all could have seen behind the scenes, because we had a pretty profound conversation about birds.
Yeah, I would say I wish we recorded it. We did, though, and I'm still not going to put it in the show.
No, and you shouldn't.
No, but there was a story about a bird attacking me and why I think birds are terrifying. But
and I was saying birds are impressive, majestic creatures, but they are very different.
Yeah. The details will be left to the theater of the mind. So
there you go.
If you want to know the
like
details.
Any good audio drama.
Yeah, like a good audio drama. let's do a few quick stories here. I don't want to get... We've gone pretty... We're almost an hour in already, so...
It was PS5. It was my fault.
No, it's my fault. It's my fault. Don't worry. It's my fault.
It's never your fault. It was your fault. Yeah, I agree.
let's start with a couple softballs. Microsoft may be poised to buy Discord.
Discord's gone. Cool.
Discord's worth more than Bethesda, which is cool.
Do you think that makes sense?
Yeah, because like, Bethesda sucks.
More people use Discord than play Bethesda games, probably. Not that that's a legitimate evaluation strategy, but I'm thinking very quickly, like, Discord is pretty valuable.
It's massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes sense in the fact that, like, communications platforms have been overvalued across the board, right? Like, with Twitter valuations.
Or Skype. Remember Skype?
Or Skype, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I will say this. As much as I think this is a bad thing for consumers, good for Discord, you know? Like,
yeah, and this was this dude who made Discord knew what he was doing. This was the end goal.
Yeah, you build something good. You offer it free to people. You have a good pricing structure in place that's fair.
Yep.
And, you know, and you just get a huge market share. And then a giant company is like, I'll give you all the money in the world for it. And then
and you're like,
retire,
cool, thanks.
Right? Yeah. Like, that's the fucking dream. So good for them. sadly, I think that this will be the end of Discord if it goes through.
Well, which it hasn't gone through, right? Unless I'm wrong, they've only just opened like negotiations. It's far from over.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue is that, like, at least the story I saw was that Discord actually approached Microsoft. So Discord was shopping itself, you know. Yeah.
Which, again, it wasn't. Don't blame them.
I don't either. This is not an indictment on Discord by any means.
No, of course.
So, you know, if anything, they are very ready to sell. And if Microsoft has any interest, they definitely have the pockets to take ownership, you know.
They sure do. I was reading something recently about how Microsoft has more than enough cash to buy Sony and Nintendo.
Yeah, outright. Microsoft.
Not just massive. The gaming divisions, but the corporations themselves, if they wanted to. Which it was sort of like, I know Microsoft's massive, but I kind of forgot how they're like playing in the video game waters, but it's like a tiny microcosm of their interests. And I always forget that. I'm like, oh yeah, Microsoft is one of the biggest corporations on the planet Earth. Like, they only play in video games because I don't know why. They think it's fun. But yeah, the fact they could outright buy Sony and Nintendo simultaneously kind of puts that into perspective. So we'll see. If this is another play to get into gaming, if they're going to incorporate in Xbox Live somehow, which I assume would be the goal.
No, I mean, I thought this, when I saw this, I thought it was more about building out teams and, you know, trying to either wrap that technology into teams to kind of make... For one, to make Teams kind of a go-to for...
But why wouldn't they buy Slack?
Because they don't want Slack. They want Discord, right?
I know, like, but that's what I'm saying. Isn't it because of the sort of gaming branding?
I don't know. I kind of don't think so. I think it's... I mean, maybe it's that audience, right? Maybe they think they can draw that audience in.
Yeah.
But...
They can make it play Bethesda games. You install Discord and all of a sudden Fallout 76 appears on your computer.
Yeah, my assumption was it was to build tech into Teams or to either rebrand Teams as like Discord or to rebrand Discord as Teams.
You're probably right. It's just interesting. I wonder what the strategy was.
You know, and I think especially, you know, when you do talk about gaming, right? Like... you get all these people to have a Microsoft account, right? Microsoft accounts can be required for Discord if this goes through. All these people have Microsoft accounts, and all of a sudden they all have Game Pass, you know, or Game Pass is advertised, or Game Pass with Nitro, Discord Nitro, or whatever you want to call it.
Yep. And, no, totally.
You know, it's just another way to kind of get these people one step closer to conversion, right? Like, but I think the problem is, I think what happens in these situations is people don't take that first step and it all falls apart, just like with Skype, you know. So we'll see where it goes. I don't know. Microsoft obviously has a ton of money and they think that these investments are going to work for them, so who am I to say otherwise? I don't have any money at all, so I really am not the best analyst to speak on this.
No, but I do think it's fair to say, like, we've talked about this extensively. It's like Microsoft's acquisition decisions are, you're totally right. Like, obviously we're not qualified to make judgment on them, but at the same time, they do have a troubling, and as far as I know, ineffective pattern of acquiring things, rebranding them, and then failing. I mean, essentially swallowing the product. And that's not to say they didn't get any value. I'm sure they did with patents and all kinds of other shit. But like, this does seem to be a troubling pattern that they've engaged in. And I don't see why this would be different, which is unfortunate because I genuinely use Discord every single day. I love Discord. But this was, in their defense, this was the goal from day one. Is like, hey, let's offer a huge amount of value so we can... make your $1 billion from a giant company like Microsoft. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it will be. And, you know, like you said, I think they've had a lot of troubling acquisitions, right?
Yeah, they just don't seem to have, like, a cohesive...
Yeah, games and otherwise, you know, even...
Yeah.
Even gaming studios they've acquired, like, what happened, like... Mojang's the only one I can think of that's really been, like, like paid off.
Like a clear win.
For them, right? I actually pulled up a list of their subsidies and divisions, and you look at these and you're like, Man, all these people's best days seem to be before
Microsoft. What are some examples?
All right, I'm going to run down the list because there's not that many.
Yeah, please do, real quick.
So, 343.
Oh, yeah.
Coalition. So, Flight Sim, right? I think they make Flight Sim.
Oh, right, yeah. I think they made Plague Tale, which is a cool game, but anyway.
Oh, they make, I don't know. Oh, Gears of War? Yeah, they make the Gears games. Compulsion Games. Hmm. That's the We Happy Few studio.
Oh, yeah. I never played that, but...
That was a bad game. Yeah. Double Fine.
Ooh, okay. Tim Schafer, my boy.
Yeah, I mean, they did some good stuff.
He hasn't made a good game in 20 years, but, you know, he's still an interesting character.
They did some cool stuff a long time ago. Yeah. Psychonauts 2, let's see, right?
Yeah.
In Exile, so Wasteland and Bard's Tale. Okay.
Brian Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mojang.
Heard of him.
Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
So, Blade. Yeah, I would say Ninja Theory's probably done their best work under Microsoft, right? Odyssey to the West. I guess DMC was probably their, I don't know.
No, it was Hellblade. I mean, that's why they got acquired.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They haven't really made anything for Microsoft. Yeah, I mean, Hellblade 2 will be their first Microsoft game, so.
Yeah. That famous system seller. Yeah. Hellblade 2.
Obsidian.
All right, Obsidian's real shit, though. I mean, that is like it's like buying a Bethesda, I guess. It's like the legacy of it, but it's like, well, what is that? Does that actually still have meaning?
Playground Games. So they're making the next Fable game for some reason. They made the Forza series.
Worked
on Forza with Turn 10?
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I have no opinion about that.
Yeah, they make the Forza Horizon games, and they're going to make Fable for some reason. Rare.
So, talk about best days behind them.
Far, far behind them. I mean, there's a different studio now. Sea of Thieves is cool, but it's...
It is cool.
But it's not, I don't know, hardly a game in some ways. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Turn 10, which is the Forza team. Undead Labs, which is a State of Decay team. Hmm. World's Edge. I don't even know. Age of Empires franchise?
Well, that's a Microsoft franchise, so it must be some spin-off of like internal Microsoft studio. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Xbox Game Studio Publishing.
They sound lame. Never heard of them.
and then all their Bethesda stuff. So Alpha Dog, Arcane, Bethesda.
I think this does kind of highlight how, like, you know, there's some good shit in there, but none of it's exciting.
And none of it's done anything like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's what I mean. It's like Discord's going to go into that hole.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
With Skype and Mixer.
I keep thinking they have like some grand strategy, and we've been saying that, giving them the benefit of the doubt for years now. I'm just curious when is it going to pop, when they're like, ha-ha, finally, our giant web of acquisitions is all coming together to do this.
Yeah, when is it going to pop, right? Like, even with as popular as Game Pass is, and everyone's like, oh, Game Pass is great. I don't love Game Pass. I'll say that. I've made that known before. But it loses money, right? Like,
yeah, I'd imagine
it's been stated a lot of times in a lot of places. Like,
yeah,
Game Pass is not profitable, and it's like, where's the money, guys?
They're in it for the long haul, clearly. And like you said, like, Microsoft is, you know, they have infinite money, so they must be playing the long game. And really, that's so much of what this podcast is just trying to figure out what the fuck is their long game.
Yeah, I don't
know.
And
in 5 years, when Microsoft somehow like leaps to the forefront of technology, it was like, all those acquisitions, they all make sense now, don't they, you fucking idiots? I'll be so curious if that happens. But, boy, I feel very in the dark about their strategy right now.
Yeah, I feel like they were supposed to have solutions by now. I feel like this generation and Halo was supposed to be, like, the answer. And I think it all got fucked up. And I think now they're, like, they're trying again. I think Bethesda's a big part of that. I think... You know, they're so deep in, it's like reinvest. Like, you can't stop now. And, you know, I think that's a big part of why they spent so much on Bethesda.
Sunk cost.
Spent so much on Discord. Well, and sunk cost. And for them, it's like, we spent a lot, but we got a lot. So it's like, whatever. You know, it's like that yeah. blackjack strategy where every time you lose, you double. Yeah. Right? It's like, you know, there's no table limit in this game, so let's just keep doubling our bet. Yeah. And yeah. we'll never lose. All right. Another story.
We'll keep this one quick.
Well, we got two.
All right. Well,
we'll keep both of them quick. This is one I know you're going to talk about for a long time. PS3, PSP, and Vita stores closing down. It's supposed to be this summer. I don't remember the... I have an article here, but I'm not even going to read it. But basically, all we know is the stores for PSP, PS Vita, and PS3 will no longer be selling product. No more digital games from those stores. What this means for already owned games,
right.
We're not positive. I believe you should be able to still download those, but I am in no way an authority on this. But yeah, I know this is one near and dear to your heart, Leo.
Well, I think it brings up this idea of like, so what do we do? What is the legacy or the responsibility of these corporations to preserve these games? And my initial reaction is like, zero.
Yeah.
Zero. However, they should not actively go out of their way to discourage other people from preserving them. That's the part I always take issue with, is like, I don't understand why Sony is trying to shut down emulation. I guess Sony is not as bad as Nintendo. But Nintendo has this policy in place where they, you know, they're making very clear money from it. And Sony doesn't seem to do that. Like, they don't seem to have that same priority of strategy. And that's clearly elucidated here, right? Because they were selling essentially emulated version of PS1 games and PSP games on the Vita. Which is great. Like, for people like me, I enjoyed it. I bought all my favorite PS1 games so I could play them on the Vita legitimately. I guess really what I'm curious about is, like, I think it'd be so cool if when corporations retired old consoles, which is totally fair, and decided, like, hey, we don't want to spend money to keep this infrastructure alive anymore. I think that's totally valid. Like, they created the infrastructure. If they want to stop supporting it, that's okay. But how cool would it be if they, like, release a source code? Or release some way of, like, enabling preservation? Wouldn't that be, like, such an extraordinary show of, like, goodwill and sort of preservation of legacy? Kind of in the way Astro's Playroom is, where it's like, hey, we genuinely recognize we have a significant and culturally important legacy, and all these people who are will go beat down doors to do huge amounts of work for free to preserve these cool games, like, throw them a fucking bone. Like, what's the downside of that?
The downside is they still want to be able to sell that stuff, my man. Come
who
on
are they, how are they gonna sell it?
What do you mean, how are they gonna sell it? Just like,
no, I mean, like, how are they going to sell Vita games in the future? They're not going to.
Well, not, no, but some, they want to have the option to sell a shitty remake of any game they own, right? Anything that's theirs. No,
totally, but they don't. That's the point, right? Is like,
some they do, though.
I'm trying to think of, like, to me, it feels like the PlayStation Vita is.
I mean, the Vita for sure, but.
Yeah. So people trying to, like, what's the downside of, like, preserving that shit? There's no downside.
But, you know, I think in a lot of ways too, like, game fans and people around fucking games
gamers
have far more interest in games as, like, historical things than the people that make said games,
right? You know? So I totally agree,
give a shit, and, like,
absolutely, they're giant corporations, but why I don't know why they actively discourage people who want to, like, preserve these things that they created. Like, where's the downside?
Because they might have potential value at some point, right? Because all of it is potential value, right? Like, everything is at some point could be sellable in some form, right? And and they don't know, like, they don't know when or if that will ever happen, and they honestly don't care. All they know is, like, this is a potentially sellable piece of property, and we're not going to allow someone to just give it away or have it, you know, in a distributable form, right?
Yeah. I guess the downside of that is they're like, yeah, all the shit we are not going to preserve will just be, it will just cease to exist.
Yeah,
they don't care. And we don't care. Yeah, no, exactly. That's fair. But I guess, right, to me, like, the word of mouth, like, someone like me who's very interested in emulation makes me profoundly more interested in, like, modern consoles. I can't imagine that downside of, like, preserving awesome art that's been created is not going to be financially beneficial. and maybe I'm naive, but I do think, like, people playing old Sony games, there's no way that's going to hurt.
Yeah, I just don't know if those people buy new Sony games, right?
Of course, like, they do.
Do they? I don't think you do, right?
And I think a great example of someone who's, like, very interested in preservation and playing old... You know, I have every Sony console. I've bought every Sony game when it comes out, essentially. But I'm fascinated by preservation. I think it's really important.
But it hasn't stopped you. I don't think
there's that many people who only play it... Like, who are going to play, you know, the first God of War on a PlayStation 2 emulator now. Like,
yeah, really? I agree. I just don't think there's very many people that aren't going to buy the new one because they didn't preserve the old one, right? I hear what you're saying. No, I think people that like the old one will have interest in that and would in some way be excited or like that those are available on the newer system or that there's some way to preserve those and they can find backups or whatever online or whatever. It's archived and Internet Archive, but I don't think it's stopping it. I don't think they're generating bad will by not doing it, and I think they recognize that. Like, you know,
I agree.
Sony is having no problems, right? As far as
totally. And also, Sony's never been the draconian. It's Nintendo that are the ones who are, like, actively trying to fuck emulation over. And to be fair, Nintendo's the only ones who are really kind of capitalizing on their 30-year-old games. Like, I don't think Sony is really prioritizing selling PS1 games now.
I don't think they carry their weight.
They don't care because they don't think it's profitable. Maybe they're wrong, but, like, yeah, they're not actively trying to shut this shit down in the way Nintendo is, but I guess I'd be interested to see if there was a giant video game publisher or first party developer that actively engaged with this community who all they're trying to do is say, hey, your art is so amazing and incredible. All we want, we will give you literally thousands and thousands of free hours to preserve this thing that maybe you don't see value in, but we do. That seems like a fucking pretty easy marketing play of, like, wow, why would you not engage with them to some degree? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think it doesn't matter. I think that's why, to be honest with you. Like,
No, that's fair.
Like, I just don't think that there's a lot of upside, right? And I think that they...
Yeah, I guess it's just goodwill.
It's just goodwill. And goodwill to a very small minority of people. The majority, the market at large will never hear that story.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The market at large won't care. Like, moms at Target won't be like, oh, these are the guys that let that.
They supported PS3 emulation. Fuck yeah.
You could buy, what is it? What's the PS Vita Nathan Drake game?
It's called The Golden Compass. Yeah, that's a Philip Pullman book. It's called The Golden Something.
These guys are the ones that let you back up Golden Compass on the internet. I'm definitely going to buy a PlayStation 6, right? Like, no one's gonna care, right? Yeah. So,
but it's also not gonna hurt, though. Like, what's the detriment?
That's not how corporations operate.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like this couldn't hurt is not part of that language, right? It's not in the lexicon because it could hurt. Nothing couldn't hurt, right? Yeah. In anything that doesn't
have, like, material, clear, like, quantifiable ROI.
Yeah, it could.
And emotion does not count. Goodwill does not count towards that. Yeah,
those could all definitely hurt in the long run, right? Because, you know, who knows about their future, but someday they might be like, we're going to release a fucking Vita Mini, you know? And it's a Vita with just games packed into it. And we're going to sell it for
$50. It's not like anyone who's like, oh, I would have bought a PS Vita Mini, but instead I have a huge archive of fucking ROMs that I run on a PS, you know, on an emulator. Like, that's ridiculous.
But I mean, it's not more ridiculous than the opposite. Right.
Yeah.
Right? The opposite is actually more likely or less likely. Like, the idea that giving these people these games is going to generate sales is far less likely than not giving them this game is going to hinder sales if you do try and sell it again.
Well, you're not trying to give it to them. You're just not actively stopping them.
Which is giving it to them. Preserving.
Wow. Right. Preservation versus, like, offering. Yeah, no, yeah, that's what you mean.
Right, like, non-enforcement is permission, right? Like, like, we've seen that. I mean, that is like a global concept beyond games, right? Like, that we've seen play out in a lot of ways. But
Yeah, it's just funny. It's like, these are the nicest pirates. All they're trying to do is be like, hey, this thing you made is so cool and we really like it. Can we please have the right to make sure it doesn't disappear forever? And they're like, nah, fuck you. It's just funny. It's like a such an antagonistic relationship with people who love you so much.
Well, I would
say
it's
kind of interesting.
Their indifference, at least Sony's, is their seal, their wink, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, like the... like the PS1 Mini, right? Which was just like trash. It was terrible. But they sure did make it easy to pop open and install your own ROMs on. And that was definitely intentional, I think.
It's always been easy to mod PlayStations. You know, like, so...
Exactly.
I don't think they're the most, like, adverse to that type of activity. As long as you keep your mouth shut and do it in small circles.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
all right. Last thing I'll jump into before we get out of here, because we are going pretty long.
Yeah.
Leo... have you heard of this new game hitting the streets called 6 Days of Fallujah?
Yeah, not that new though, right? They tried to make this game, 10 years ago?
Yeah. No, 2000... Wait, wow. I was like, it hasn't been 10 years. It was 2009. But yeah, that's 12 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All I'll say about this is, if you want to make a game about, you know, modern war crimes or modern whatever... just do it. Just like fucking make it and stop pretending it's something it's not. This is something that Ubisoft does all the time where they like they take advantage of the imagery of something and then go very far away to pretend that they're not doing that. And I find that so irritating. Like if you want to make pro-America fucking propaganda, I probably won't buy it, but just make it and just tell the fucking truth. Be like, yeah, this is what this is.
Yeah, I am starting to turn a corner on this game, or at least the coverage. Like, when we talked earlier, I was like, I can't believe all these people, and they're like, it's so crazy to me the response that this game is generating in the media, right? Like, and I'm honestly starting to believe that this company is marketing geniuses and taking a game that the world had forgotten about and that no one really cared was going to come out. And put it at top of mind for so many people.
Yeah.
And these people are just getting played by their own, like, emotions, you know?
Yeah.
Because...
they either got extremely lucky or it was incredibly calculated.
I don't believe in that kind of... like, this kind of luck. I think luck exists, right? But, I mean... I equated to like Kingdom Come Deliverance when we talked about it earlier, and like it was kind of the same thing where like someone or the whole media or I don't know who is the arbiter in the secret cabal that decides who wins and loses, right? Like the Harry Potter game and Kingdom Come Deliverance and this game, and it's like, no, those games are losers. Like, you know, those games are on the bad list and we're gonna thrash them and create this like fervor around thrashing them, because this game has gotten so thoroughly thrashed. Like, I sent you a list of all the IGN articles about this game, and it's like IGN, the most milquetoast, like every game is good company, is just like, this game is fucking so problematic and so troublesome. And it's so strange. It's so strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely weird. I mean, it does seem like a particularly tone-deaf thing in a way that Kingdom... I almost said Kingdom Hearts, which I also find tone-deaf.
Extremely tone-deaf.
Yeah, it's not really related to this. To me, this just seems like, hey, this is a shitty shooter that no one wanted to publish because it was dumb and bad. And now they're like resurfacing it for whatever reason. Again, I haven't played it. Maybe it is very interesting. Maybe it's going to pull like a cool... Spec Ops or like Call of Duty at its best, when it's being like at least slightly subversive or at least trying to do something interesting. But it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it was just like a stupid ass game.
Yeah,
that is really dumb and not interesting and not adding anything of value to any sort of conversation. And everyone's like, hey, fuck this, it sucks. And the fact that that's only going to get people to buy it is certainly fascinating. Like, I bet you this game will sell way better than it would have if no one had ever talked about it, obviously.
I mean, yeah, it looks like a dumb hoorah game, right? Which I think is... I mean,
which is fine. Just don't... Yeah, just, that's what it is. Just embrace it.
those games have always existed, right? Like, that's what's so strange to me is, like, this isn't new. I mean, even Call of Duty in a lot of ways is this. Like, and so, like, none of that is, it's just so, it's so strange to me that the, you know, people aren't like, oh, this game looks like it's not a very good game. You know what I mean? No,
yeah. It's, I mean, like, I think everyone's saying that, but that is certainly not what they're focusing on.
Yeah, like, no, this game, you're glossing over war crimes. You're, you know, this is a you know, you should be admonishing what happened. There's false pretenses. You know, it's very loaded with these, like, you know, the same kind of criticisms that the war in Iraq had. And,
well, yeah, I think that's the part that irritates me is the developers are pretending, they're trying to navigate that minefield. Where if they just said, like, no, this is a military game, it's pro-military, that's it. People would have written a couple articles, been like, fuck you and your, you know, military-industrial complex. So I'm like, yeah, whatever, it's a pro-military game, and that's fine.
Yeah, well, everyone's getting drawn into that minefield. I think that's what's weird to me is that people that have never been... People that have been so complicit in that style of game and that type of gameplay now seem to be so eager to you know, have their hot takes and really kind of clap back on this game and, you know, just let the game come out. Like, you know, that's what I mean. Is it marketing genius? Because if they just shut the fuck up and let the game come out, like, it would suffer the greatest punishment of all, and that's just like total indifference, right? And instead it's like, you know, now it's got its fervent supporters, you know. You're just like, who would ever have been a fan of this game if it wasn't for
that's what is so fascinating. Yeah, like the hoopla around it created it, politicized it in a way where it's like, hey, this is not a quality piece of art that deserves to even be politicized. It's not even important enough to politicize, but somehow we've managed to do that. Or maybe it is. Maybe it's brilliant and cool. We haven't played it. No one's fucking played it, which is the other side of this that's funny. I suspect it sucks, but we don't know. Maybe it's just fucking brilliant, but let's let it come out and see.
Just let it come out. That's my whole
thing, too. And then when it comes out, if reviewers are like, it's pretty shitty, that's it. That would be really cool, but I suspect that's not what's going to happen. I suspect there's going to be a bunch of reviews that say, like, you know, that are very similar to the headlines we're seeing now, which is like, shitty game is insensitive. Like, cool. Is that really worthy of any attention whatsoever?
Yeah, and games are just insensitive. Like, I don't know. I mean, a few short months ago, I was fucking slaughtering the Vietnamese and Black Ops. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, it is interesting how, like, Call of Duty does get it. Like, there's always an article that comes out about, like, hey, this is military propaganda. And everyone's like, yeah, it is. Anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. We love it, you know, and it's...
Yeah, and like, it's fun because it's a good game. Like, it's well-made, even at its worst. It's usually, you know...
And they spend ad dollars. I think a big part of that, too, is it's like, yeah, no, Call of Duty's okay, you know, and it's like, because they do, you know, full website takeovers and buy ads and, you know, get coverage, and it's like... I think it's, you know, it's what do this game and the other game we were talking about, the game I was comparing this to, whose name I forgot already.
Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Kingdom Come Deliverance. What do those games have in common? They're from small studios that don't have presences on these sites, you know? Yeah. And they're trying to tell, like, a more, I don't even call it real story, right? This game's kind of posing itself as, like, oh, it's like a documentary, but it's so does Medal of Honor, so does Battlefield, you know what I mean? It's like real soldiers with real names, and, you know, it's like this isn't fucking
those franchises came out 20 years ago. Like,
no, I mean World War II was recently, and that was another, like,
and that was terrible.
It was, but no one was like, can you... World War II was full of its own war crimes. You know what I mean?
It's for sure. And and no one was mad at Call of Duty for not exploring the nuances of that. Yeah. I kind of was. That actually pissed me off about it. It was like, oh, this is a pretty... That's why I liked Modern Warfare. It was so very pro-American, but at least it sort of toyed with a little bit of subversiveness, or at least, like, toyed with that. But anyway, all that aside, I totally hear what you're saying. It's like... What is this random-ass busted game from fucking 10 years ago that some tiny studio has decided to revitalize? Why is everyone talking about this like it's important?
Yeah, it really brings me, like, you know, the dark 4chan version of me is like, for one, this is marketing for the game. They were smart enough to fucking pit themselves against these people that really cannot contain themselves from taking this opportunity. And for one, they get this opportunity because this isn't published by a large publisher. And so they can kind of take their gloves off and really like chew on this game, right, in a way that they never would have the rope to if it was an Activision game or an EA game, right? Like their relationships would never permit them to kind of approach those games with the same like language or fervor, right?
Yeah, that's a very cynical perspective. I don't know if that's wrong, but it's interesting. I got an email about this game that said, like, you know, as someone who's part of the games press, quote unquote, I get a lot of emails from just studios exactly like this, like tiny studios who are trying to get your attention. And it was like, hey, we have procedurally generated level design in a first-person shooter. Isn't that new? And I remember glancing at that email and being like, that's not... A, it doesn't sound very interesting. But even if it did, it's like, yeah, sorry, you already hitched your boat to like, this is the marketing campaign we're doing. You don't get to talk about... That's what's so sad, right? No one's going to talk about it as a game.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah. And I think that's because it looks dumb.
Yeah, and maybe it's not sad. I didn't mean to imply like, what a loss. I meant more like, it's sort of one or the other. Do you want to be? Do you want to be like, hey, we're a cool game, or do you want to be like, hey, we have a, we're going to talk about the Iraq War? I don't know, man. Like, unless maybe it's one of those things. Like, unless you have something interesting to say, maybe you don't need to talk about it. How many games about the fucking Iraq War came out that no one talked about because they were just totally boring and no one cares about them, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, seriously, or just war in general, man. Like, war is disgusting. There's no good ones, right? Like, none of them were fair or just, right? Like, we're all about World War II games, and it's like no one is like, why aren't they exploring what we did to the Japanese? You know, not to
or
say
what the Japanese did to the Chinese. I mean, that would Chinese, also be interesting, right? Right? Like yeah, I 100%. And there's no reason we can't do that in games. And I'm really looking forward to when we do, like, have the fucking balls to, like, do a game about being a medic in a war. Or really confront, like, really have something interesting to say. But we're just not there yet.
Yeah,
I don't think this game is saying anything remotely interesting other than American troops went through some bad times when they were in Iraq. Which is, like, cool. Yeah, that's fair. But
you'll be happy to know that in 2003... IGN gave Conflict Desert Storm 2 Back to Baghdad 7.9.
I hope it was Back to Baghdad.
Back to like Baghdad. With a 2. With a 2. No, I wish. That it should have been.
Back to Baghdad.
But that Square Enix published game got a 7.9, and people were cool with it. So, different time, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
But, I agree. I think that there is a place to explore those things. I think
Spec Ops The Line is an example people always use. Like, that was an interesting kind of twist on that whole formula, and that was cool, and everyone loved that, and it was awesome. I don't know why people don't do more of that.
Yeah, especially with things like World War II. You know, it's funny. World War II is so interesting, and the stories about it are so interesting, and they had a Netflix documentary recently about World War II with, like, color, World War II in color or something, color, right? Yeah. And it was so good, right? And, you know, it's just so funny, like, watching that documentary and, like, kind of placing that against the way we view World War II and the way we view, like, you know, Europe's kind of entry into, like, Britain and especially their entry into that war and our entry into that war and how we're kind of, even especially in games, you know, how we view it as kind of like we got to stop the Nazis kind of thing. And then you look at the reality of kind of how different countries got drawn into that war and how adverse they were to fighting another war after World War I and how sort of non-heroic and sort of, essential it was, right, to fight that war. And it's like the narrative is just so different than how these things are served to you. And it's just like, that's fine, right? It's a fantasy. It's a video game. Like, it's not... it doesn't have to be...
No, it doesn't. Like, it has no responsibility to, but it could.
It could, but it's not. It's and not
it'd
responsible
be interesting,
for that.
It'd be interesting if it did.
Yeah.
That's why I think, like, the first Call of Duty, so, like, that scene where you're getting nuked and you have to crawl out of the helicopter and you just fucking die in front of a mushroom cloud, I want to see more of that shit. It's interesting. It was like, whoa. I don't know that it necessarily means a lot, but it was fascinating and cool. And like, if we're, yeah, there's no reason we can't explore the complexities of the shit a little bit more instead of just being like, shooting people is fun. Shooting people is fun, and there's nothing wrong with making those games. But also, like, there's a lot of shit here that has not been explored, and it could be. And I'm not sure why this game is getting any press, because it sounds like, by all accounts, it's just like another shitty game. Great.
I'm gonna be rolling if this game's actually good.
I would love that. That would be like, amazing. Yeah. If it came out and everyone's like, well, it's really insensitive, but holy fuck, the deathmatch is probably the best that's ever been. It'd be like, that would be, I would love that. That would be so nice.
Or what if it's just heart-wrenching, right? Like, what if it really does tell a story that is just like,
that would
like,
be great.
Amazing, right? Or you're just like, man, this is incredible. You know, like the,
yeah,
the, like what it's trying to, what if it accomplishes what it's trying to do?
That would, you know, honestly, I would be the first to be extremely happy.
Games are awesome, man.
They are.
I love them. I just love them so much.
You know what, Tony? I also like video games. I think we should end it with that.
Yeah, I'm going to download the Steam game I just found called Sensual Adventures, the game, and just really celebrate games.
Right. All right. I'll let you go do that in privacy.
I love games. What can I say? You know?
Me too. Me too.
So much. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. It was a long one. I appreciate all your time. Leo, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me and talk about video games. We got into some real moments here, so I appreciate it. Yeah,
you know, it's what we always try and do around here.
We really do. Tech Yeah Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, techyeahpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email, we'd love to hear from you. I'm sure some people disagree or agree with us, so feel free to reach out if you got something to say, and I'll write back that you're dumb. You're a dummy person, just like us.
But we'll listen and be very cool and nice.
You're dumb shit, just like me and Leo. So how about that? Thank you guys so much. We love you. And go play some games.